Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is Gaudete Sunday. So you'll notice, of course, as we do every year, the colors have changed. We pause our penitential nature of our Sundays to lighten the color a little bit. And the reason for that is because Gaudete means rejoice. Even in the midst of penitence, we pause to rejoice, because we will rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, and is used for our introit. Why do we rejoice? We rejoice because God forgives the iniquity of his people. He covers all our sins. He revives us, that his people may rejoice in him. Today is also a day that we remember St. Lucia. Today is the day that St. Lucia is remembered for her great faith. St. Lucia was born in 280 AD, so she lived in the 3rd century. St. Lucia was a woman of faith, a young woman of faith, a woman who was born in Christianity, but yet was betrothed to a pagan, a man who had no faith in Jesus. That was done because her mother was afraid that after her father had died, and she was very sick, that if she died, her daughter would have no one to care for her. And so she prepared for her a husband. St. Lucia had decided, though, that she would instead devote her life to the poor. She would devote her life to the things of God. And so St. Lucia sold her dowry. Last week we talked about that, the money that a bride's family would prepare that would enter her into her marriage. She sold it to care for the poor. Upon hearing this, St. Lucia was outed for being a Christian by her fiancé. He was so mad that he told the governing authorities that she was a Christian. Now, while that may not seem like it should be that bad of a thing, you have to remember that at this point in Roman history, it was illegal to be a Christian, and the punishment was death. And so, at the age of 24, St. Lucia was martyred because she believed in Jesus Christ. Lucia means light. And so throughout Europe on this day, you will find many young women dressed up in white robes with a red sash on to show that red blood of martyrdom and a candle crown on their head. Light. St. Lucia shared the light of Christ, and it caused her death. St. John the Baptist is the man whose faith we talk about on this Sunday. We see that St. John the Baptist is in prison for speaking the truth. St. John the Baptist had cried out that it was wrong for Herod to be married to his brother's wife. Now, it wouldn't have been that odd for a man to marry his brother's wife, because in fact, in Old Testament law, if your brother had no children through his wife, you were encouraged to marry her, that his name may continue. And that would have been fine, except that both Herod and Herodias still had living spouses. They were divorced. They were no longer together. That is where the sin was. And so St. John the Baptist cried out that it was sinful, it was wrong for this to happen, and he would have his head removed because of it. For speaking the truth, for believing in Jesus Christ, it meant murder. Over 3,000 people were murdered under the emperor that murdered St. Lucia. Over 3,000 Christians faced death. And so many Christians faced death under Nero and other emperors. They faced lions. They faced all of this death for going to church and believing in Jesus Christ. I think about us today in modern America, a country that really hasn't had persecution for your faith, a country that had been founded on the belief that we were free to worship Christ, to worship Him without fear. We were free to worship the true God. But as the times have changed, I think about where we're at. I wonder what Christianity would look like in America if that sort of persecution came. Because I've seen just a slight beginning of persecution. You've been told in the name of safety that you should only stay home, or that you should stay home and only leave if it's for an essential service. And so while the governor has told us that, unfortunately, too many Christians have said, I will not go to church so that I may listen to the governor. But the thing is if you are a Christian and you don't view attending service with your brothers and sisters in Christ, attending to the word of God proclaimed and preached, attending to the reception of the Lord's body and blood as essential, then faith is weak. We don't face certain death by coming to church, but if I'm completely honest with you, there is a chance that you could die from attending the Lord's service. But I think that God would still want us to gather. In fact, I know He would. He commands. He tells us to be in His house about His gifts. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And so no matter what the governor tells us, we will be about the essentials. We will guard our eternal life more than we guard our earthly life. We will attend to the things that are essential into eternity, all the while guarding ourselves against those things which really aren't that essential. We speak the truth, even if it costs us. We tell our loved ones about Jesus, even if they will laugh at us. Even if it will cause division in our families, we speak the truth of Jesus Christ. Do you prepare your children to speak the truth? In a world that has the father of lies ruling it, the world will tell your children that the earth was created in billions of years. Do you tell them the truth? Do you tell them what God's word says, that God said in 6 days He created everything? Or do we go with the world? The world tries to tell you that you can be whatever you want to be, even if that makes absolutely no sense to your biology. Do we speak the truth, or do we go with the lies? The world will tell you that God is so much about love that you should love whomever you want, however you want, and it doesn't matter. God just wants you to be happy. God would want you to stay home so that you could be protected. That's not what God's about either. Yes, God is love. But if ever you wonder what that means, you look right there. You look at the cross of Jesus Christ. He suffered at the hands of His own governing authorities for you and for me. That is love. Not that we loved Him, but at first He loved us and laid down His life for us. That's what the love of Christ is. And so we return to the Lord in Advent, at any time, in penitence, with a heavy heart, falling down at the foot of the cross, crying out, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. And every time you cry that out, because your God loves you, He says, dear daughter, dear son, your sins are forgiven. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, his own cousin. He pointed to Him as the Lamb of God. He would cry out, Ecce Agnus Dei, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He would point His own disciples to this Messiah, And two of them would turn early on in Jesus' ministry to follow him. One was a man named Andrew. Andrew had a brother whom he went to tell about. He said, "We have found the Messiah." His brother's name was Simon, then named Peter. Tell others the truth. Tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell the person you've never seen before in your life. We have found the Messiah. Come and see. Come and worship. We are gathered to prepare, even if it means death. We are here. John had been in prison, and yet he sent his disciples to Jesus. He points them always to Jesus. He points them to the Lamb of God. We sing those words of St. John the Baptist. We sing them every time before we receive Christ's body and blood. Every time we sing out, "O Christ, thou Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ physically dwells with us. He joins himself to bread and wine, and we sing out, "Behold the Lamb of God." A banner behind you, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus, our Lamb. But more than just our Lamb, he was also our Shepherd. As we read in our Old Testament lesson, that even in the face of possible death for coming to church, even in the face of being laughed at or ridiculed or having division in your own households, God says, "Comfort. Comfort, yes, comfort my people." He says to speak comfort, to cry out that her warfare is ended. Our warfare will not end yet in this life. The life of a Christian is not just a life of comfortability, not just a life where we have nothing to fear. No, the life of a Christian is warfare. Warfare against enemies that seek to devour us, body and soul. But our iniquity is pardoned. And our comfort comes in what comes next. No matter how great you have sinned in your life, no matter how wicked you were in the past, Jesus' grace is larger. If Jesus can forgive St. Paul, a man who rounded up Christians to be murdered, surely he can forgive us too. As Jesus used St. Paul to proclaim his gospel, no matter what you have done prior in your lives, your sins are forgiven. His grace is double, and he can use you to proclaim his truth. So lift up your hearts. Do not be afraid. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will feed us. He gathers us as his lambs. He carries us in his bosom, and he gently leads us home. The church sings. So when next he comes in glory, and the world is wrapped in fear, he will shield us with his mercy, and with words of love draw near. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.